Welcome back to another thrilling episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, and joining me is the all-knowing, always witty Core. How's it going, Core?
Hey, Jack. Doing great, thanks. I'm pumped for today's episode. We've got some electrifying topics to dive into, and I might even throw in a few bad jokes, if you're lucky.
Oh boy, can't wait for those. But jokes aside, we've got a packed show today. First up, we're diving into the latest AI advancements. Then we'll pivot to discussing some intriguing movements in the Web 3.0 space.
And let's not forget, there's been a whirlwind of tech industry news. Some good, some bad, and some are they just making this up moments. Plus a sprinkle of political and business hot topics to stir the pot.
Absolutely. So strap in, folks, because we're about to take you on a roller coaster through the latest in tech. Whether you're a tech enthusiast or just here for the banter, there's something for everyone.
Yeah, and if you've got questions or comments, hit us up on socials. We love hearing from our listeners, especially when Jack gets called out for his questionable predictions.
Hey now, let's keep the banter friendly, Core. Anyway, let's dive right into it. Our first hot topic of the day, AI's leap forward in predictive analytics. Core, what's your take on this?
Oh, you're throwing me into the deep end right away, huh? Fine by me. Predictive analytics in AI has been a game changer, especially with the recent developments. It's like having a crystal ball, only cooler and more scientifically accurate. Well, sometimes.
Ha, you always know how to keep it intriguing. And on that note, stay tuned, folks. We've got a lot more to unpack right after this short break. So, you know, shifting gears from the less glamorous talk of SEC lawsuits and scandals, can we talk about the big names who jumped in on the latest crypto fundraising round? I mean, having folks like Eric Yuan from Zoom and Andy Bechtolsheim on board is pretty wild, right?
Absolutely, Jack. It's like the Avengers of tech and investment coming together. I was floored when I read that lineup. These aren't just heavyweights, they're titans in their fields. It's like having the Beatles and the Rolling Stones collaborate, but for the tech and investment world.
Aha, I love that analogy. And it's interesting because it shows there's still a lot of faith and optimism in the crypto sector, despite all this regulatory turbulence. You've got companies like Samsung, Next, and giants like David Weisberg from 10X Capital throwing in their hats. That has to mean something, right?
Definitely. It signals that while the regulatory environment might be shaky, the underlying technology and potential of crypto and blockchain are still robust. But let's not gloss over the fact that the SEC's recent moves have definitely stirred the pot. Dismissing the Coinbase lawsuit is a significant reset.
Yeah, and acting SEC Chair Mark Ouyata's comments about developing crypto policy in a more transparent manner is like a breath of fresh air. Under Gary Gensler, it felt like the SEC was playing whack-a-mole with the industry, but now there seems to be a push for clearer guidelines.
It's about time, too. The lack of clear regulations has been one of the biggest pain points for crypto enterprises. Imagine running a business where you never know if the rules will change the next day. That's basically been the crypto experience.
No kidding. Speaking of rules, I found it pretty ironic that things started changing one day after Trump's inauguration with the SEC's new crypto task force led by Hester Peirce. Hashtags like hashtag crypto mom were trending during her previous tenure, and it feels like we're back in those days with her at the helm again.
Oh, for sure. And it's not just the regulators flipping the script. Charlie from Assure DeFi posted an intriguing prediction on Bitcoin's MVRV, market value to realized value, signaling another bullish year ahead. With Bitcoin trading around $84,416 right now, we're apparently not at peak value yet. It's like seeing a weather forecast that says more sunny days ahead amidst a storm.
It would be fitting if we had another bullish cycle coming, considering all the ups and downs lately. But you know, I can't help but chuckle at the AI safety researchers accidentally turned GPT-4o into a Hitler-loving supervillain headline. I mean, seriously, how does that even happen?
Oh, it's like a plot straight out of a bad sci-fi movie. I can just imagine the AI safety researchers going, oops, our AI went rogue. But honestly, it shows how careful we need to be with AI development. There's so much potential for unintended consequences.
Exactly. It's a reminder that we need robust safety protocols and ethical guidelines in place as AI continues to evolve. On a lighter note, how about the SEC drawing a clear line with meme coins that might let folks like Dave Portnoy and his antics continue without impending legal doom hanging over them?
Yeah, the meme coin market is like the wild west of crypto. Trump's token reached over $51 billion at one point before crashing. It's like watching a roller coaster you wouldn't dare to ride. And Andrew Tate's Daddy Coin saga is just another chapter in this wild story.
The sheer volatility is something else. But I suppose that's what makes the space both exciting and risky. It's all about watching the big players and everyday traders try to read the tea leaves.
Indeed, Jack. And with initiatives like state-level Bitcoin reserves, even though many bills are hitting roadblocks, it's clear there's a broadening acceptance and integration of crypto into more traditional finance structures. Some states are really pushing forward, like Utah and Texas.
It's an evolving landscape for sure. And hey, at the end of the day, whether it's AI turning rogue, meme coins skyrocketing, or SEC lawsuits being dropped, there's never a dull moment in tech and crypto world. All right, Core. So IBM has made some waves with their acquisition of HashiCorp. This is a big move in the tech industry, particularly for hybrid cloud applications and generative AI. What do you make of it?
Yeah, Jack, it's a significant play by IBM. They're doubling down on their hybrid cloud strategy. By bringing in HashiCorp, they're getting some pretty cutting-edge technology for automating and securing cloud infrastructure. This move can really accelerate innovation and security for their clients. But honestly, it also feels like they're trying to keep pace with the big cloud players like AWS and Google Cloud.
Absolutely. And let's not forget, HashiCorp's Terraform is a game changer. It's one of the leaders in infrastructure provisioning. Essentially, it helps companies manage their data centers and cloud services from a single place. This is huge because, with nearly 75% of enterprises using hybrid cloud setups, dealing with multiple environments can get pretty chaotic.
Right. And given that generative AI is projected to lead to the creation of 1 billion new cloud native applications by 2028, the scale of infrastructure automation needed is beyond what humans alone can manage. To me, it looks like IBM is positioning itself to be the backbone for this AI-driven future.
And with IBM's existing AI-driven IT automation capabilities, it feels like a perfect match. They have software that can predict and fix problems across IT stacks, optimize application performance, and manage financial decisions based on real-time insights. Adding HashiCorp's automation tools just takes it to the next level.
That's the thing, though. IBM has been strategically aligning itself with these kinds of tech endeavors for a while. Think about their acquisition of Red Hat and their constant push on quantum computing and AI. They're not just sitting on their laurels, they're actively trying to stay in the game.
And let's be real, they have to. The market is fiercely competitive. Just look at how Microsoft has leveraged its Azure platform with AI integrations and partnerships with OpenAI. IBM needs to make bold moves to maintain its relevance.
Totally. It's a survival game now. The companies that adapt quickly and take proactive measures are the ones that will thrive. IBM's commitment to R&D and its global reach can really fortify HashiCorp's position in the market. Plus, they've emphasized their dedication to trust, transparency, and inclusivity, which resonates well in today's market.
For sure. But do you think this acquisition will significantly disrupt the existing market, or is it just another step in the ongoing chess game between these tech giants?
I think it's both, actually. It's a disruption in terms of how companies might approach infrastructure management. Having one robust, integrated solution for both hybrid cloud and AI can set a new standard, but it's also a chess move, as you said. IBM is firming up its position against AWS, Google, and even Microsoft, recalibrating its strategy to stay relevant in the AI and cloud realms.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. With IBM stepping up, other companies will either need to innovate further or seek similar strategic acquisitions. It's like a high-stakes poker game with a lot of chips on the table.
Exactly. And let's not forget the developers in all this. HashiCorp has a huge developer community. Integrating their tools with IBM's massive resources could lead to some groundbreaking innovations. Developers are the lifeblood of tech evolution, after all.
No doubt. Well, this will be one heck of a ride to watch. On that note, let's shift back to generative AI for a second. This notion of 1 billion new cloud-native applications, that's mind-boggling. How do you see that shaping the tech landscape?
It's going to transform everything from business operations to user experiences. with generative AI, we're talking about creating more intelligent, adaptive applications. These are not just upgrades. They're fundamentally new types of apps that can learn, adapt, and provide unprecedented levels of personalization and efficiency.
And the infrastructure to support that scale needs to be bulletproof. That's where IBM and HashiCorp's focus on automating security and infrastructure comes in. It's about creating an ecosystem where these applications can thrive without constant manual oversight.
Exactly. Organizations will need to modernize their IT stacks and operations to keep up. This acquisition is a catalyst for change, pushing many enterprises to rethink how they manage cloud infrastructure and security. It'll be fascinating to see the ripple effects across the industry.
Well, if nothing else, we're in for some exciting times ahead. Tech revolutions like this keep us on our toes, and it's these kinds of innovations that shape our future. And speaking of future, let's dive into another big tech development that's been making the rounds. All right, Core, let's dive into the details of the GPU memory mapping and how all these connections and coordinate magic happens. The whole notion of the base address register or BAR in PCI configuration is critical here. You got any insights into why the system BIOS is in control of defining these memory locations?
Absolutely, Jack. So the BIOS is essentially the first thing that runs when you power on your computer. It's like the program that sets the stage for the operating system. By setting the memory locations for things like the GPU through MMIO, memory mapped IO, it makes sure that all the hardware components talk to each other properly from the get-go.
That's pretty fascinating when you think about it, especially considering how this direct mapping allows real mode BIOS operations to interact with the GPU's memory and initialize it. And speaking of the WeTek SVGA core with IO ports from 0x3D0 to 0x3D3, why do we still rely on these old mechanisms in a world full of high-level abstractions?
It's kind of like having a vintage car in your modern garage. Sure, you've got all the new tech, but some of the foundational work still depends on that vintage setup. These IO ports are legacy from the days when real mode was the only way to get things going before protected mode took over. They serve as a bridge between old and new, ensuring compatibility and stability.
Right. And it all flows into how objects are organized within the GPU. These first 256 bytes you mentioned earlier, they're shared across different object types, but are fairly consistent in structure. Why is there such a need for uniformity here?
Well, Jack, uniformity simplifies the process of resource management. Think of it as having a standard template. By having a base structure, the system can efficiently handle different types of resources without needing to reinvent the wheel each time. It helps in setting certain expectations in terms of memory, footprint, and functionality.
And you touched on patch cords. These sound like something from an old school music studio, but in the context of GPUs, they're quite the novel concept, aren't they?
Definitely. Patch cords are a way to connect various resource objects together, making a sort of map or network. You know, it goes back to when NVIDIA was doing quad patches, hence the name. It essentially streamlines how these resources interact and ensures that data flows efficiently between them.
Shifting gears a bit, you mentioned the challenges with networked units being rigid and opaque decisions made at the beginning. Can you elaborate on these arbitrary location architectures and their impact?
Sure thing. The idea is that you want to write code that feels like it's running on a single machine, even though it's distributed over multiple. These decisions impact how data consistency, retries, and failures are handled. It's really about simplifying the complexity behind the scenes for the developer, handing off the heavy lifting to the framework, but with certain trade-offs.
That's right. It's a fascinating balancing act. Speaking of simplifying complexity, active frameworks try to tackle this, but why don't they fully count as the ultimate solution?
Great question. While actor frameworks like Akka do provide a way to manage state and communication between services by running actors in a distributed system, the developer still has to define boundaries manually. It's almost like giving you a sophisticated tool, but still needing a lot of manual input to get it right. The magic isn't entirely automatic.
Gotcha. And that's where a more efficient processor architecture comes in, right? Giving developers more granular control and better optimization tools.
Yes. That's the goal. Efficient processor architectures aim to empower developers, offer exceptional experiences, and push the boundaries of what's possible with minimal overhead. We're moving towards a future where efficiency doesn't just mean power saving, but true performance gains as well.
And on a completely different tangent, you think hacking Stalker, where companies can put a definitive end to their operations?
Wouldn't that be something? While hacks can create significant disturbances, these companies often have a way of bouncing back. It's not the ultimate solution, but it certainly adds pressure and raises awareness about digital privacy and security.
True. Just like the persistent rise of DeFi despite the meme coins mania. Adapt and survive, right?
Absolutely. Every downturn in technology sees a period of survival and adaptation. Developers and innovators constantly assess and find new ways to thrive, just like players navigating through uncharted virtual landscapes.
And that brings it all full circle, from pioneer GPU routes and efficient architectures to the cyber battles our tech world faces today. It's all connected.
Indeed, Jack. And this continuity in tech evolution just shows how much our past techniques still influence and guide our future advancements. The key is to keep navigating and evolving.
Exactly. Thanks, Core. That was a deep dive with plenty to chew on. So, Core, let's dive deeper into this whole RAMDAC thing. I mean, a chip's RAMDAC acting like a middleman to convert the GPU's digital output into an analog signal is honestly quite the marvel. It's easy to overlook how crucial this component is when we marvel at our 4K displays.
Absolutely, Jack. It's kind of like being obsessed with the movie on the screen, but completely ignoring the projector. The RAMDAC is that unsung hero, converting those digital bits into something our monitors can actually display.
And the fact that the clock running at 200 megahertz on the Riva 128 and 260 megahertz on the Riva 128ZX isn't configurable by manufacturers adds a layer of complexity. It's like giving a chef a preset stove temperature. They have to work around it no matter what dish they're cooking up.
That's a great analogy, Jack. Imagine the frustration for these manufacturers who can't dial in exactly what they need. But that's where innovation comes in, right? You have to get creative with what you have.
Speaking of innovation, let's talk about Elon Musk losing his main partner in 25 countries. I mean, that's a significant blow, not just in terms of that partnership, but also the market share he's conceding to competitors. And all this is indirectly benefiting China.
It's a fascinating geopolitical chessboard out there. Losing a partner on such a scale isn't just about immediate losses, it's about future opportunities slipping away. And boy, does it play right into China's hands.
And while companies like Quanta are busy hoovering up data to aid fintech tools, others like Figure are leveraging humanoid systems in BMW plants. Which do you think has more immediate market impact?
That's a tough one. The fintech data aggregation is like arming companies with better insights and faster decision-making capabilities. But then humanoid robots in factories talk about a game changer for the automation landscape. They're taking a more tangible, hands-on approach.
No doubt. Factories and warehouses are perfect playgrounds for testing robotic systems. Safe, structured environments where the stakes for trial and error aren't as high as, say, deploying a robot butler at home that accidentally destroys your favorite vase.
Haha, totally. Moving on to Gozan's Series B funding, raising $30 million to expand across African markets. Look, these guys are providing an all-encompassing platform. From ride-hailing to digital banking, they're simplifying access to multiple services under one roof. The potential here is enormous.
Indeed. Bringing convenience and enhancing financial inclusion in markets like Togo, Benin, Gabon, and Cameroon, where service fragmentation can be a major barrier, is pretty visionary. Stripe's bullish stance on vertical SaaS with small businesses shows the global appetite for such streamlined platforms.
Exactly. And did you catch that Stripe's payment volume grew to $1.4 trillion in 2024, up a whopping 38% from the previous year? These numbers reflect the rapid pace at which businesses are embracing digital payment solutions.
Clearly, Stripe is betting big on the future of integrated SaaS platforms. All these ecosystem plays seem to be leading the charge towards more sophisticated, tech-driven business models.
To top it all off, let's not ignore the human angle. Apple's update on child accounts and verification via existing credit card info, it's the small improvements that make a huge difference for user experience. Parents everywhere will appreciate not having to re-enter their credit card info manually.
Absolutely. And let's be real, customer-centric tweaks like that build loyalty. Wise has mentioned that this isn't a strategic round for Dell, but a standard VC round shows us how even big names aren't afraid to participate in these seed rounds to potentially unlock future synergies.
Right. And on the darker side of things, it's troubling to see North Korean threat actors ramping up high-profile scams and interactive intrusions. Cybersecurity is becoming a relentless game of cat and mouse.
Speaking of which, that brings us to the Meme Act, finally addressing the modern challenges in our digital age. The restrictions on senior officials and their families from dealing digital assets is a bold move aimed at reinforcing trust and integrity.
Bold indeed, and much needed. The future of digital governance is at stake here. Much like those Romanian charges against the infamous brothers, it's a reminder that digital misdeeds are no longer a Wild West scenario. There's accountability now.
And last but not least, the legacy from that Australian exchange coin spot incident in 2017 took years, but at least justice caught up. It's these stories that underline the critical nature of robust regulations and vigilant oversight in the digital finance world.
Well put, Jack. Regulations, vigilance, and smart tech integration are shaping the landscape, making it both exciting and meticulously complex.
That wraps up our deep dive into recent advancements in AI, the latest in tech-driven business strategies, and some of the unexpected pivots in global politics. We hope you got as much out of our conversation as we did.
Absolutely, Jack. It's been quite a ride today, dissecting everything from AI ethics to corporate battles and the quirks of political leadership.
And shout out to our listeners for sticking with us through the twists and turns. Your support keeps AI Unchained alive and kicking.
For sure. Your engagement is the fuel to our podcast fire. Remember, we love hearing from you. Questions, comments, or even those wild ideas you come up with at 2 a.m.
Yes, especially those. Keep sending them our way. It's the community that makes this so special and, let's be honest, way more fun.
And hey, a quick reminder to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Whether you're Team Spotify or Apple Podcast, hit that subscribe button.
Before we go, any last pearls of wisdom, C-O-R-R?
Just this. Never stop questioning and exploring. The tech world moves fast, but staying curious keeps you ahead of the curve.
Sage advice. Well, that's all from us for this episode. Thanks for joining us on AI Unchained.
We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights.
See you next time.
Later, everyone.